And welcome in to In-Game Chat for Saturday, May the 20th, 2023. It is Season 17, Episode 17 as well. I'm Scott.
And I'm RJ.
Welcome into the show, everybody. If you'd like to get in touch with us, our phone number is 334-272-9228. Check out InGameChat.net for all the links to get in touch with us. You can find us on Twitter at InGameChat. You can find us on Facebook there as well. You can email us, everyone at InGameChat.net. Streaming right now on Twitch, go there, twitch.tv. You can find us there. Just search In-Game Chat. You'll be able to pick us up. And you can also join in the chat room live while we broadcast. Don't forget to find us on Discord as well. That is at our website, ingamechat.net. Just go to the bottom. You'll see an invite to Discord. Click that. Download it if you need to, whatever. Open it up, and then boom, go into our channel, and you can talk to us live on the air. You can also do that by calling, but as we've known in previous times, Discord just sounds fantastic. Anyway, welcome to the show. Let me do this real quick. Forgot about this part. When I say I forgot, I didn't really forget, just remembered, but I have to do it in parts because we broke it. So there's the first part. And RJ's going to bring the other one in at some point.
Yeah, next show I'll have it.
Yeah, and then there's the second part. That's only so I can edit the audio. That's it. That's the only reason we do it. If I didn't have to sync up audio, we'd have never come up with that thing. But, yeah, so. Yeah, we're not doing a show next week. Mm-hmm. So keep that in mind, both listeners and RJ. That we are not doing a show next week. It's Memorial Day weekend here, so we're going to take the weekend off as well. That's really the only like show note type stuff going on. It's just that right there. So let's just jump right into it. What have you played there, RJ?
Mostly the whole week I've been playing MLB The Show 23.
All right.
I went through the storylines mode of the basically the history of the Negro Leagues.
Yeah.
And I went through the 8 storylines that featured significant players during that time.
Yeah.
Basically, you do little moments,
mm-hmm.
you know, that set up a situation, you complete them, and then you get a little bit more of their history. And you go on through there until you complete everything with each player.
Oh, yeah.
And for every storyline that you complete, you get their player card, a 90-ranked diamond of them in their prime. And if you get all of the stories, you get the captain's version of Buck O'Neill. And what that does... Captain's version basically allows you to boost the stats.
I was about to say, it's just really good stats. Yeah,
yeah. Depending on a certain format. So like, for instance, if you have multiple players during that time on your team, it picks up the stats. And the more players you have on your team, the more it picks up. At my point right now, I just pick the best players I've got. And it's like 5 of the players from that era. So it's a plus 15 stat boost on almost all their categories. So that's a little, little incentive to go through there.
Yeah.
But for the most part, what I really got gleaned from it was the history of the players through there.
That's my interest. That is where my interest lies in that particular game.
Yeah, so a lot of the players that
it's the first time they've done this, right?
Or, yeah, first time they've done this.
Yeah, okay.
Masters, yeah. But... the 8 players, eight people they picked, some I'd never heard of. And it was interesting going through the whole roster, seeing what they were all about and what they accomplished. I mean, the last one was Martin de Higo, and called the El Maestro, the master.
Mm-hmm.
And such a good player that the man was able to be inducted into 5 different baseball halls of fame across the world. Baseball's played around the world. And so there, and he was inducted into 5 different baseball halls of fame because he was that, he had that much impact as a player. Now, some of the things that they had you go through, Satchel Paige, for example. One of the things was pitch a perfect inning with all of your infield and outfield surrounding the mound. The story about it is basically he gave up a hit to a team, and one of the players got up on the dugout steps and just said, called him overrated.
Mm-hmm.
I won't go into full detail what it was, but called him overrated.
Yeah.
Right? So he looked at Buck O'Neill at the time and said, did you hear that? Yeah, I did hear that. He said, bring him in. And so Buck motioned to the players to come inside, no defensive shift, get closer.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah.
So then he, Satchel looked at the players and said, no, bring them all the way in. Hence the name of the event is bring them all the way in.
Oh, okay.
So when he said bring them all the way in, everybody in the outfield and the infield was kneeling around the pitcher's mound. And then they resumed the game. So now your duty is to go through the inning without giving up a hit.
Right.
And striking out as many as possible. I think it was I don't know if there was a strikeout quota, but basically get through the inning without giving up a hit. Don't hit anybody. Don't walk anybody. You have to be perfect on the mound for that inning.
That's fantastic.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was one of the things you had to go through in that. And you had to do it again to a degree with another player named John Donaldson. They said before Satchel Paige, there was John Donaldson, mm-hmm. and who's every bit as good as Satchel Paige was. Now, he did pretty much the same thing. He said after every batter he struck out or got out, he took 2 infielders off the field. And so he struck out another one. Then he got the other 2 infielders off the field.
Right.
So now it's just him in the outfield against the last batter of the order.
You know,
so
I miss it. Now, I never experienced it, but I kind of wish we could throw in some showboating like that again. They won't do it because obviously rules are you got to have this many people on the field, blah, 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 blah. You can't.
One of the things about baseball in the States is that they took the passion out of the game. And when different players from like the Dominican Republic, Cuba, mm-hmm. Places around the world, right? When they had when they showed passion in the game, they were kind of quick to throw water on that fire, so to speak, to curb them of that. But then you look at the World Baseball Classic that just recently ended. You saw the passion of the world in that game.
Yeah.
You know, everybody was able to have a good time playing that thing, and the audience reflected that. This is the type of baseball you want to see.
Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, like I said, it was a good little history lesson I went through playing through the week because some of the challenges were a little difficult, mm-hmm. more difficult than others. Perfect innings, finishing off perfect games. The last 3 innings of a perfect game, you have to finish off. And if you're not perfect, you know, one of the frustrating things, you know, you're in the 9th inning, 2 batters you've retired 2 batters, and then the last one gets a hit off you, start over.
Yeah.
So I've had to go through that situation repeatedly with the pitching aspect of the storylines.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Like I said, it was a good little history lesson. And after you go through it, they compile it all into one little video, and you can just go through the whole thing and see it if you ever want to do it again.
I like that idea. It's, I knew they put that feature in there.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't know how it really, you know, worked inside the game or anything because I'm not playing it. But that was a draw.
Yeah.
For me was that. Did you play anything else?
Just the whole week I've been trying doing the moments of the game. Yeah.
For me, obviously, Destiny 2. That's just it. So, it's all I've been playing.
Oh, did you get that thing completed like you wanted? The thing that made you want to quit almost?
Yes.
You did get through it.
I got the challenge done Sunday afternoon. I tried some of it Sunday morning, and I was just like, no. And instead, I worked on some other stuff, not gaming wise, but whatever. And then a few hours in the afternoon on Sunday, I told Wendy, I was like, I'm going to go back and give this one more shot. Mm-hmm. Took about 2 hours of finally getting the rhythm down. Started a little after 4 and finished about 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Got it done and was, yay, relieved mm-hmm. to finally get that. I don't have to worry about those challenges anymore. They're done. I don't have to worry about them. Because next season starts Tuesday. Mm-hmm. Big reset comes. Next season starts Tuesday. This season's going to be different from other seasons. They are not raising the level cap for this next season. I will not have a climb to make like I normally have. I will be at the level cap. I will be at pinnacle cap at that point.
Is that going to kill your motivation for the next season?
I'm okay if it does. I'm actually pretty much okay. So there's a lot of things that they're changing. There's no vendor upgrades for whatever the new seasonal activity is going to be. Normally, when a new season starts, there's an activity specifically for that season.
Right.
And there's a vendor specifically for that season. And inside, there are upgrades. When you do so many different things or whatever, you get a type of currency, not the normal type, but whatever. You get one, and you can use that to unlock something that says, you know, every time you run this seasonal event, you get extra loot that drops. You'll activate another one that says, every time you run this seasonal event, you're guaranteed an armor drop, or, you know, whatever the case. There's just all these different things that you can upgrade, and you can fully upgrade the thing, and I've been doing that for years. Not next season. They're not doing that next season.
Mm-hmm.
So I won't be I don't know what it'll be, but I know that I won't have as much of a grind. They're also getting rid of the I don't know how I would explain these, but the three playlist activities being strikes, PvP, mm-hmm. and Gambit mm-hmm. are your big three playlist activities. And normally within those, as you rank up, and ranking up within those activities just means playing them over and over and over again.
Yeah.
So as you rank up, there's usually a weapon that you can get from all three of them. It's the same weapon, but maybe you play more PvP than you do anything else, so you have access to it. Maybe you do Gambit more than anything, or whatever the case. Mm-hmm. Or maybe you're like me, and you know, because of the way you're mentally built, you have to do all three. I did all three this year. Forgot about that. Anyway, once you unlock the weapon after getting rank 16, basically the highest rank.
Yeah.
Once you unlock the weapon and reset your rank, because it only goes to 17, then on the next path is it's called an ornament.
Yeah.
Yeah, something that changes the look of that.
Mm-hmm.
These were all things that were built into the seasonal quest stuff. Like, you do these, you know, if you finish 74 out of 76 of these seasonal things, you get all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I would work really hard to do that because you had to do at least two of them.
Mm-hmm.
Three was good too, but you had to do at least two to get to your end. Those are not going to be there next season. They're removing those. Ritual weapons is what they call them. You'll be able to get them, but they won't be on the path that you normally do. So, yeah, I don't know what to expect from this next season. I have not prepped for next season. In other words, normally I build up a bunch of... I didn't have to because I'm not chasing a number this season. So, basically, I'll just be building up my artifact to run the GMs at the end of the season type thing. I don't know exactly how it's going to go, but it's going to be different. It's going to be different. I'm kind of looking forward to not.
Yeah, you won't be playing as much.
We say that.
Well, like I said, the motivation, wasn't the core motivation getting your light level up
right,
to max,
yeah.
max
no, no, no.
point? Yeah.
Well, especially when a new expansion launches. Now, expansions and seasons are different. Seasons are things within an expansion.
Mm-hmm.
When an expansion hits, that's brand new storyline, brand new everything, brand new location, brand new everything. Just all of it's brand new.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we started this season, we were at 1,600, I think. is our starting level this I say this season when we started this new expansion back in February.
Yeah, because they put everybody on the same level if you're brand new. So
yeah, our level was 1600, and the highest you could get is 1810. Mm-hmm. You can get higher than that with your artifact power, but base was 1810. That's the top you can do. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I was chasing numbers back then. 1600 to 1810 is what I was trying to get to. I got to it.
Yeah.
They're not going to do that this season that launches on Tuesday. There's not a number to chase. Mm-hmm. So I'm not sure how it's going to play out. I'm really interested because they are trying something different. This is something new. I say they haven't done this, but obviously way back when, before there was this seasonal activity stuff, this is how it always went.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I can't remember those days because this whole method has been ground into me from God, I don't remember when it started, but it's been like this where each season is a new activity to do. And now it's like there'll be an activity to do, but it won't be linked to any. I don't know how they're going to do it. Plus, this seems to be the return of Titan.
Yeah.
Sloan coming back and everything else. So we'll see how this goes.
So benefit. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because Titan was a place that I didn't mind.
I say it's the return of Titan. I mean, that's what everybody's saying, obviously, because Sloan was in the key art there, but I don't know.
But it doesn't mean that everything is going to be like it used to be.
Right.
I mean, something may change, something may be
different. Well, I'm really curious myself, because she's also got an arm that looks like it's got Taken, you know what I'm saying? The Taken...
She's like Cable from Marvel?
Yeah, you know, it's got that... I don't know what happened. We don't know.
Her arm has been replaced by some other...
Well, you know, the Taken enemies there that have the whatever. I mean, if you saw the key art, you could see there was something up with her hand. It kind of glowed on the arm, kind of had a glow to it.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what that means storyline-wise. It'll be interesting to see what they're doing there. But I've never really relied on story from Bungie at all, from where Destiny is considered.
Yeah, so basically Stone's been through some stuff since you last saw her.
Yeah.
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 Mm-hmm.
What was I going to say? What else was there? Oh, and I made my solo dungeon attempt this morning.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't do it. Wasn't trying to be flawless, but which is fine because I died not to anything. I died from jumping puzzle and falling.
Misfortune.
Yeah.
Just, oh, no, they call it, no, it's misadventure.
Misadventure.
They call it misadventure.
I didn't quite make the grasp to the next thing. I should throw on. Strand in that section and just zip on over. Mm-hmm. I didn't think about that. Huh. Anyway, I'm not going for flawless on this dungeon run. When I died so early into the thing, I was like, okay, good. Pressure's off.
Yeah.
Right? Don't worry about dying. Just keep going. And I did. And that second, I say second, it's really the first boss encounter was, but it's the second thing that gives you like, loot or whatever. Mm-hmm. But that first boss encounter takes about 6 or 7 phases of damage to do. It's fine. I got my pattern down and I got my run down. It was fine. It was whatever. That was okay. It was tedious.
Yeah. I was about to say, it's not the gameplay. It's the tedium of the whole thing.
It's extremely tedious to do. And I might switch it up. I might switch up and do my other. I don't know. I'm thinking of different things. Anyway, sorry.
Yeah.
It was tedious to do, but I got through it.
Mm-hmm.
Then I went into the next section, which is basically a traversal thing with some mechanics, but not really a boss or anything. I died a few times doing that, which put me at the beginning of what happens after. You beat that boss. So I didn't have to fight the boss again or anything. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I finally got to the last boss. But I forgot to pull up my map. For the first encounter, I had a map up of where everything was that I needed to go to. And I was like, okay, good. Well, when I get to the other boss, I'll use that map. Well, I changed my weapons and stuff and then just started the activity. I was like, I really should bring up that map. But I kept going through and doing what I was doing. I didn't die, but I got to the point where I looked at that and I looked at the clock because it was already noon. And I was like, I can't continue this. I still got to go to the store. I got to do all this. I can't.
So how long do you foresee this thing taking?
Well, I think actually I can get it done quicker now that I have, I can get to the boss quicker.
Okay.
Because I ran all that stuff so many times before, I can do it now, I think, quite comfortably.
Okay.
But I don't know. We'll see. I really needed to have that map up in the last room so that I could go, and I just didn't. And yeah.
I mean,
so,
if you could take a guess, like I was going to take like 90 minutes, 2 hours.
About solo. I would say 3 to 3.5.
Solo. So three.
Solo.
About 3 to 3.5 hours. Solo.
Yeah. Okay. Depending on.
If everything goes right.
Depending on how well I do, it'll take 3.5 or so. I'd love to get that down lower, but I'm really only trying to finish this because it'll be the only time I ever do it.
Yeah.
It's the only time I have to. Once I complete it, this little thing that's attached to my account or whatever will show that it's completed, and I will never have to do it again unless they dream up something new that says, okay, you have to solo a dungeon. But that doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. So I'd really like to get it done and over with, and I'll never have to worry about it again. And I don't ever want to have to worry about it again. Soloing a dungeon is not fun. There's a lot of people who are out there to do that, and that is their thing. I play a ton of Gambit, and that's a mode that a lot of people don't like. And I actually kind of have fun doing it. Mm-hmm. So I can see where there's people who want to solo these things, and they have fun doing that. I don't. It is a thing that is built for a team. You can do it by yourself, but the damage, you know, the amount of health a boss has compared to the just one person outputting the damage is ridiculous. It's built for three or more people. It's built for two or more people. It's not... Yeah, it's built so that one person can do it if you want to, but, you know, it's built for three. And so I
was about to say built for 3 to 4 powerful guardians, not just any guardian can do it.
Yeah, there was a glitch that one time, and I streamed it too. We streamed it when we could get, we called it a clown car raid because we could get like 12 people. They had something going on, and we could get 12 people inside a raid. And we did that, and I streamed it, and we had so much fun doing that. I would love it if they got to a point in the game or got to a point where it's like once your character hits this point or once you're at this level or once you've done all of these things, then sure, you and everybody else who has done all of those things can group up and run 12-man raids,
sandbox, have fun, folks.
Six-man dungeons, whatever. You know, just go in there and knock it out just to do it and have fun and go nuts with it, you know?
What was that mode in PvP? The one where supers charged up every 30 seconds.
Mayhem.
Yeah. I remember when that was a thing and people were like having a really good time with that, even though the scores were lopsided as crazy. But it was just fun having your super build up at a ridiculous rate.
Yeah, Mayhem still rotates into the playlist. About 3 times a season or so, 3 or 4 times a season. It rotates in with, what's the one where everybody's holding rockets? You know, I can't remember. Scorch cannons.
Okay.
Where everybody, that's the only weapon you have is scorch cannon. You just, firing missiles at each other.
Yeah.
Then there's Mayhem, like I said. Then there's momentum control. That is capture the flag, or control, you know, A, B, and C, capture the flags. But everything is overpowered. So, you know, 2 shots from a sidearm will kill you. You know, 1 shot from a scout rifle will kill you. A headshot, anyway. Body shot will get you close. Yeah. But, yeah, so momentum control is actually kind of fun, depending on, you know, the weapons you use for it and how you manage that. That can be fun as well. So they got that, and then Rumble and a couple other different things that they do that they rotate in and out of for that thing. There's always the capture the flag mode, and there's always the the competitive one, the one that's got rankings and everything else that I never touch because I am not good at PvP. So I stay away from the things I ain't good at, which is probably why I play Destiny so much, because it's the only thing I'm good at. But, I don't know. I may give it a shot tomorrow. I feel like I can do better. I feel like just running this morning actually got me better at doing it.
Yeah.
for how many times I have to go around and activate these nodes and
it's
everything.
It's lather, rinse, repeat. It's like going through a tough section of Dark Souls. You're gonna have moments where you fall flat on your face. Laugh, go back, try it again.
Yeah.
Now you don't fall on your face, but then you found something else. Well, go back, try it again.
Yeah. Well, the new dungeon releases in this next season. I don't know when in this next season, but the new dungeon releases, and the wording on the achievement that I'm going for says complete the current dungeon solo.
The current dungeon, okay.
Right. So right now, the current dungeon is the one I'm on.
Right.
It has a max level of 1600. And I'm 1830 with all of my artifact stuff and everything else.
Yeah.
It's a really good time to do this.
Mm-hmm.
Because when the new one releases, it is likely going to be at a higher level.
1800.
Right. And you have a little bit more difficult time running it solo.
Mm-hmm.
So... You know, it's one of these things where it's like, right, it's a good time to do that, to run that thing. So we'll see. We'll see. I don't know. It depends. I'll probably give it a shot tomorrow. And if I am making better time with it, then, you know, I'll continue. But if I see that it's just, you know, if I see it's going to put me at a whatever. I wanted to start earlier this morning and I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't get around to starting until close to about 8 a.m. So 8 to 12, what is that, 4 hours?
Right.
Yeah. So I'd like to think I can pull that under, I can shorten that. Mm. Especially now that I've done it so much that I know where things are and I've got my little routine of like how I go around and get to the DPS. Mm-hmm. So.
Yeah, trust me, I've been there.
Yeah, I know. We'll see. Let's see. We have missed a ton in the chat room here. There's a free live stream Foo Fighters concert tomorrow from AC Wraith. There's been nobody since the game started. Still confused why anyone bothers with it. Not relevant. I was just reading my email during the show. Okay. it's a Bungie game. Everything is tedious. Part of it is, but the way, you know, I put a lot of time into the game.
Mm-hmm.
Destiny. Started where it was, made some good friends playing it. It clicked for me in both good and bad ways. Good that, hey, here's something that I am good at in aspects and gives me a sense of accomplishment in some of these things that I pull off, you know, that where I think that I can't get it done or that I'm not good enough to get it done, that I don't have what it takes to get it done. For example, that challenge that I did last weekend where I just – seriously, that Saturday when I came in here, my head was thinking that, well, I'm just going to have to try again next season.
Mm-hmm.
I really didn't think I was going to get it done.
Yeah.
And I really doubted myself. I really thought, do I even want to try it again? Do I want to go through this headache? Do I want to do that? But when you do – when you pull off these things that you don't think you can do or that you – and honestly, this works in not just gaming. It works in anything.
Life in general.
Yeah. Anything that you feel like, you know what, I'm not good enough to make that happen, or I don't have what it takes.
Mm-hmm.
Be it skill, be it patience, be it time. Sometimes, no, you're not going to have what it takes as far as the time is concerned.
Mm-hmm.
But when you make those things happen, when they happen, and I realize we're talking about a video game, but if you can relate it into any other thing in your life where...
Trust me, you can.
You've pulled something off that you didn't think was possible yourself. There's a great euphoric feeling that you get for an accomplishment like that. And I know, and again, I'm going back to the fact that, he's just talking about a game. That's fine. Put it in your own terms of whatever it was that you felt accomplished with. And it is one of the same feelings that you think, I'm not as bad as I think I am, or I can actually do these things.
Yeah.
You know? Now, in those cases, I was relying on other people to also be as good as they think they are as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know? In this situation, I'm actually relying on myself.
Yeah.
With a solo run. It's something I think I can do. The fact that I was able to get through the first boss after God knows how many damage phases I had to go through, God, that was so tedious.
Mm-hmm.
He was my biggest worry, and I got through it.
Mm-hmm.
And even that accomplishment there, I didn't finish the dungeon, but getting through that section solo was a sense of pride, sense of, hey, I did something that I didn't think I could do or that I just thought was going to be just, you know, really horrible. And I mean, yeah, tedious and tough, but I made it.
Yeah.
And I know that I can do that last boss. I know I can. I know if I had more time or if I'd started earlier, I know I can do it. Mm-hmm. Just now is a question of, do I want to? You know? Is it good enough for me just to know that I can do it rather than actually doing it? I don't know.
It depends on what you get from it.
Yeah. Outside of the feeling of accomplishment.
Which is something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The in-game reward is, I don't know, I think it's an emblem. And it is, well, you can show that off because that tells everybody else, oh, he soloed that thing by himself. But also, it gets me my rank 11, which is all I need left. Mm-hmm. Rank 11 is the highest rank you can get. It needs this one thing done.
Okay.
That's all.
So there's your finale. You got a finale set up.
I know, right? There you go. We'll see. Mm-hmm. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll go over some. We got plenty to go over here because we got the Zelda release, which has just been what everybody's playing except me, and I'm curious to play it. I don't know when I'll get around to doing that, but the Zelda release. What else? The Mario movie is out on digital now, which
quick.
Yeah. Me and Wendy watched that last night.
That's something I'm still getting used to. I'm like,
how fast this stuff gets into.
Yeah, just in the theater about a week ago. Yeah.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
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 This thing did very well, but I mean, it's perfectly timed because at this point, Guardians of the Galaxy has knocked it out of its top spot. Mm-hmm. And now Fast 50 has gotten it out of, has gotten Guardians out of the top spot.
That'd be a nice little trivia question. What movie franchise has the most sequels?
I think it's Bond right now.
Bond? Okay.
It could be something else, but I want to say it's Bond.
Okay.
James Bond. I think he's sitting around 22 films or so.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that's it. I could be wrong.
We'll find out.
But I'm trying to think. As far as that goes, I think James Bond has the most. Yeah, I believe so. Anyway, music here from a game called Core Keeper. This is the theme for Hive Mother's theme out of a game called Core Keeper. We'll be right back with more of in-game chat right after this. And welcome back. There's a rush to get back in. Started raining. And so your windows weren't down. They were just cracked, right?
They were cracked, yeah.
Okay.
Because it's hot.
Yeah. So we have different points of like security in the building. So once he gets out to go to his car, it's very hard to get back in without somebody helping you. Yeah. So, thankfully, that was a minute and a half of music there from Zelda, Tears of the Kingdom, main theme there. This game has been massive.
Yeah.
It has. I mean, the game itself is massive. It is. I can't even begin to tell you how they fit it on one of those little tiny Switch cartridges.
Mm-hmm.
No clue. Something. I mean, it's just. It's huge.
Yeah.
The area that you have. And I don't know if anybody's kind of mapped it out or whatever. But given the fact that there's a lot of verticality to it, whereas you've got the land below, then you got stuff up above and stuff above that and everything else. I've called it Minecraft Zelda, especially given the way that you can build things in the game now.
Well, there's a building aspect. Okay.
There is, yeah. Okay. I want to say a crafting aspect. That is an aspect of where you can attach things to other things. You know, if you need to build a boat, you can build a boat.
Mm-hmm.
You know, grab two logs and put them together, and then you can make a sail or all these other different things. Yeah, you can. There's a lot of crafting that you can do.
It's like Fallout.
Yeah, a little bit. Kind of like the base builder type thing in Fallout. Yeah, a little bit like that. I mean, you're obviously building anything you want to build. But yeah, it's really, really fascinating to see all the things that people have built. And it's amazing to, and I say it's amazing. I should be used to this now in Zelda games, the fact that it gets really good scores.
Mm-hmm.
And this is no different. This thing has gotten top rated reviews across the board.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'll get to it when I get to it. You know, games like those. And I was telling Wendy this the other day, cause we were watching a video of it. And she was like, oh, you'd probably love that. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I think I would, except games like that intimidate me. I can remember, and I've told this story before, I can remember playing like Assassin's Creed and Assassin's Creed 2.
Mm-hmm.
I can remember playing Black Flag, where you have all this area to explore and to look over and do whatever. And I'll do everything that I can do. You know what I'm saying? I cover every inch of area that I can cover.
I think what it was is, you know how much time this game is going to take you playing it. Because I remember you said Countdown. Not a very big game, but you wanted
Crackdown?
To find... Crackdown? Yes, yeah. Crackdown. You wanted to find all the little packages that were out there, right?
That one snuck up on me because that was one of the first times I'd done something like that. And the only reason it snuck up on me was because I was playing so much of that game. And then I finally looked and see how many of those orbs I had left to collect. And it was a number that felt doable, you know? So I went ahead and finished that up because I was already there. I didn't start out that way.
Yeah.
I just was able to finish that up because of, you know, where it was and everything. But
I was just thinking about the intimidation. Was it coming from the amount of time you were going to have to put in this game because of the way you play games and whatnot?
The first time I ever felt intimidated by an open world game, Batman Arkham City.
Mm-hmm.
Arkham City opens, and I, you know, big Batman fan, loved that stuff. Loved the Rocksteady games. It was the first time we were given this open world aspect compared to Arkham Asylum, which was rather large, but not open world type of thing.
Yeah.
And the same with Arkham City. I mean, there were certain areas that you couldn't get to until you had progressed so much of the story.
Right.
But when they first put me down into the city as Batman, and I was able to look at the map and see everything that there was to do, I felt intimidated. I felt overwhelmed. I didn't know what to do. Mm-hmm. I felt suddenly I didn't like it. You know, suddenly I was like, okay, where do I go? What do I do? You know, I felt like I needed not necessarily a handhold thing through it, but at least something that said, go here and do this, go here and do this, go here and do this.
Mm-hmm.
And my problem was, sure, I could go there and do that. I knew kind of where to go, but there's enemies over there. I should go beat them up. I'm Batman. I should go beat them up. But there's enemies over there. I should go do that. There's this. There's that. There's over here. This. Where does this go? I want to go see where this goes. Mm-hmm. There was just so much area to explore that I felt overwhelmed and intimidated. And it was really strange because it released on my birthday of whatever year this was. Mm-hmm. And I actually took the day off of work for my birthday and to play the game. And I just remember starting it and thinking, oh, I wasted a day because I don't want to play. I really didn't. I was, like I said, I was a little bit scared of all the freedom I had.
Yeah. It's kind of like, Elden Ring.
Yeah,
Elden Ring throws you in areas like, go, have fun.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you said, there's an enemy over there, go beat it up. Well, one of the first enemies you see is that knight, that tree knight, in front of the first bonfire to go to. Yeah. You want to go fight that enemy at the level you're at? Have fun. a lot of folks did have fun trying to take him out.
And
still,
that's the thing.
For the most part, you get killed.
Arkham City didn't do that. I mean, Arkham City, you could fight anybody you wanted to that was available to you if you mm-hmm. could get to that area. Because they didn't let you go into any areas that you couldn't. And there wasn't any kind of a level system where these guys outrank you or anything like that.
Well, basically what I'm trying to say is that it was like an area that just said, threw you out in the world and said, go discover it. Mm-hmm. Find out. Let them go find out how difficult this is. Let them go find out whether or not he should be there or not.
And I've played games. I mean, Destiny is a game like that. Mm-hmm. You can find yourself in an area in Destiny where it's like, they're gonna one-shot me where I'm at. I need to go back to the kiddie pool, you know?
Mm-hmm.
This is the deep end that I don't need to be here.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand when they do that. Zelda is like that as well. I don't necessarily know that Zelda's like that right at the beginning. In other words, well, I think so. But I don't necessarily know that they're close by. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
From where you start, I don't know that enemies that are out of your level range or nearby mm-hmm. or further in the map. I actually don't even know how any of that stuff. I own Breath of the Wild, the first one, and I only barely played that at all. We're talking 30 minutes, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
Once my weapon started degrading, and I was like, man, I hate this. I don't like weapon degradation. But it seems to be something that you get over pretty quick, because a lot of people are playing this and really love it and everything else. So,
well, it depends on how bad the degrading is.
I don't know. I had a stick.
Yeah.
So it's not built to last.
No, you have weapon degrading like... Monster Hunter, which degrades kind of quick, but you can fix it right then and there. Mm-hmm. Or the degrading like in Dark Souls 3, where it does degrade, but not to the point where your weapon loses so much effectiveness that it will break on you. I mean, you have to be using that thing a lot and not paying attention for a weapon to break, at least in my experience. And then you have games that degrade weaponry like Dead Island. Dead Island.
Dead Rising. Or was it Dead Rising? You remember the old Xbox one?
I know the game, but, but Dead Island would have weapons you would painstakingly build. And with a good three or four whacks, the thing started losing effectiveness. Or Let It Die. Let It Die, you could build a weapon. You could build a weapon, but that thing degraded so quickly. It was like, goodness, I mean, I may as well run here. Barehanded and try it that way. It just depends on the level of degradation where it gets annoying or whatever.
And I haven't put any time into Breath of the Wild or Tears of the Kingdom to tell you how that whole weapon system works as far as the degradation system. I don't know. I hate games that do that, but given how many people are enjoying this game, given the stack of massively scored reviews,
mm-hmm.
apparently it's not an issue. Apparently, it's perfectly okay to have.
I'm just guessing.
Degrading.
I'm just guessing the degree is. I'm guessing the degree of degradation is to the point where it's not like it's not rapid.
That, or you have so much of it
mm-hmm.
that it's okay if it breaks apart or whatever, because you can easily build a better one or a new one, or you can easily obtain.
Or if you've got something, like I said, muscle, or if you've got something on hand that lets you mm-hmm. fix or repair right then and there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, anyway, Zelda's huge. It became the biggest UK boxed game launch for 2023, and it's probably going to be big for 2022 or bigger than last year, that sort of thing. Mm-hmm. That was the first thing we had out there, was just how many records it broke, and just how well it is doing. Fastest selling game in the series. Nintendo announced Breath of the Wild sequel sold over 10 million units worldwide in just 3 days. It makes it the fastest selling Zelda release to date. Nintendo also revealed it is Europe's fastest selling game for the Nintendo Switch. And let's see, it is also the fastest selling Nintendo game for any system in Europe. It says Breath of the Wild is the highest selling game in the series, but at this rate, Tears of the Kingdom should take it over. God, Nintendo Switch has been around for 7 years. This is its seventh year. And they are not expecting an upgradable Switch anytime before April of next year. Mm. Now, does that mean in May of next year on store shelves will be a brand new version of a Switch? Don't know. But so far, the heads at Nintendo have said, Switch is doing great. We don't see any need to...
If it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Right. We don't see any need to do another one. And that was, like I said, that is up until April of 2024. Mm-hmm. There's some speculation that something's coming around then, or that an announcement might be made, or that something is on the horizon for next year, but...
Well, I would think it would be something like give the market enough time to see what that Asus thing or...
Maybe. I mean, I don't know where Nintendo goes in this regard, and I don't mean to divert the topic here because this is easily one that could take a long time to hash out, but like, do you improve the Switch or do you redesign again, you know? Mm-hmm. You went from a GameCube to a Wii, but then you went from a Wii to a Wii U, and then you went from a Wii U to a Switch. So, yeah, I don't know where you take it. I don't know if you improve upon the Switch in some way or another, be it, I don't know, bigger screen, better battery. I don't know. I don't know what you do. Or do you do a redesign? Do you call it the Switch 2 or do you call it the Switch Plus or do you call it something new because it's not any of those things? I don't know. I would say, given the success of this console compared, that they would just make them better. This one here, it's got a better screen. It's got a longer battery life. It got it's got graphical improvements and everything else. It's just a Switch, but it's beefier, I guess you could say, for their next generation, whatever they decide to do, next iteration, I suppose. But I don't know. Or do you just do something completely different? Nintendo is, that's one of the interesting things is that I have no idea. When a new Xbox or a new PlayStation releases, you're going to get a complete redesign when it's a brand new one, not a, PS4 Pro, not an Xbox One X Plus or whatever the thing was. But when you actually hit the next generation, you're going to get a redesign of the console.
Yeah.
Nintendo's not necessarily on that same wavelength with that. They will just put out a better version of what they've got, or they will do a completely new redesign, not within the boundaries of whatever Sony and Microsoft are doing. Mm-hmm. They're not in competition with them. I don't think they've ever considered themselves to be in competition with them. Mm-hmm. I think at this point, given that it's a handheld device, they're probably in more competition with something like a Steam Deck or your phone. Something like that is probably more of your phone is probably more competition for a lot of other devices. mobile gaming is just such a, if I look at it on like spreadsheet side of things,
yeah,
mobile gaming is just massive.
Yeah, no, let me take that back because I was thinking of something else. I mean, I've tried some things on game, but using my touch screen to do things,
I know.
I'm not doing it.
I know.
I've given it a shot. I'm not doing it. Put a controller in my hand and let me go from there. Or,
they do
how
make,
long does it take me to go to keyboard and mouse to play games?
They do make plenty of third-party devices that connect to your phone that suddenly you have a controller-like thing with your phone in the centers to see what's going on. So, I mean, it's there. The ability is there to turn your phone into a handheld gaming machine. It already kind of is, but...
But I've seen the app. I've seen the phone versions of games that have, of the genres that I go to.
Yeah,
and it's like no, this is
not
the thing.
Like, I know
the Street Fighter app. No,
which the thing about that though is that some people have, for whatever reason, they have the ability to play on a phone. They don't have the ability to play on a console. Mm-hmm. I don't have the new console. I can't get the new console. I can't afford it. It's not in stores. But I do have my phone, and I can play some of these games on my phone with Microsoft Game Pass and that sort of thing. I think they go to the phone. I'm not sure. But there's an ability there for you, for the phone to be a competitor for your home gaming. Mm-hmm. And so if I look and see what Nintendo's in a competition with or what they feel their main competition is, I don't know. I don't think they would say it's Microsoft or Sony. I don't know that what they would say. I don't know if they would just dismiss it altogether and say we're not in a competition. We're just here to
we just to do our thing.
To do our thing. Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, if it's any competition, just what exclusive we got compared to yours. Yes, sir.
Anyway, we are at the top of the hour here. We got to take a break. When we come back, we'll dive into more of the news that we've got here, which what else did we have? There was other stuff going on here. Oh, yeah. Mortal Kombat 1. We'll talk about that coming up. Here is music from a game called One Hand Clapping. And this track is called The Sound of One Hand Clapping.
So it should be silent.
It really should be. But it's not. We'll be right back. And welcome back to In-Game Chat. This is music from a game called Proteus. Proteus, I guess. Dark Matter is the name of the track. Reminds me, well, it doesn't remind me, but whatever. It gives off a Dead Space vibe. Steam now offers 90-minute game trials. And they've started with Dead Space as the first one. 90-minute trials. You can now just play a game for 90 minutes. And I don't necessarily know if it's specific games or any games, or I don't know what the deal is. Probably not a game that you could beat in 90 minutes. Although I'm sure there's... I would say the music changed a little bit. So yeah, it makes me think that it's probably on just select titles that you can probably do this with, but curious. I haven't even looked at it to see, like, does this game offer it, or if it's just this one game and they're going to start expanding it to other games? I don't know. But, yeah. So, you know, I saw the news that we were getting, Hawken was going to get a reboot. This is the old, this is a mech game from way back when. One of the main developers on that title, we became pretty good friends with here for the show. He picked me up a couple of times out in LA from the airport. For E3 stuff. And I'm going to have to look. He's on my Twitter account. I have to look. It's been a while. He moved on to work at Blizzard with Diablo 4 for a while during the main building of that game. And then he moved on to something else even before it got released. So, but yeah, he worked on Hawken. And So yeah, they're bringing it back called Hawken Reborn, and it's apparently it's horrible. Hawken's back, except that it isn't. 505 Games has taken the corpse of the fantastic mech PvP romp, which died well before its time, and turned it into an ugly PvE game that I've had to stop playing because the broken mouse sensitivity and over-enthusiastic cockpit animation have hammered my head. I knew I'd need to temper my expectations when it announced that Hawken Reborn was a PvE-only affair. No more thrilling fights against human mechs for me. But multiplayer wasn't the only thing that I loved about the original Hawken. The impeccable art, sound design, and the lumbering feel of the mechs also played a big role. It had this wonderful ability to conjure up compelling, fast-paced brawls that still managed to feel tactical and considered. None of this is evident in Hawken Reborn. So, piloting your mech is deeply unpleasant. In Hawken Reborn, the mechs are floaty and jittery. The hypnotic motion of the cockpit has been replaced by a metal prison where everything wobbles and spasms, while the overly sensitive mouse controls forced me to stop playing because they made me feel so nauseous. Changing mouse sensitivity currently does absolutely nothing. So, I mostly negative current user reviews on Steam right now. I've seen from multiple sources this, and I think a Kotaku review or whatever article about it, where it's just, it ain't the old Hawken. So, the EU, the European Union, approved Microsoft's bid for Activision Blizzard. Mm-hmm. I think the FTC has to weigh in on it this summer, and then there's still the, I think it was the CMA who shut them down last week when we heard about that. The thing about it is, and this is something when I read more into it, strictly for the we'll call them the CMA because I think that's who it is, mm-hmm. but strictly for them, if the appeal doesn't work that Microsoft is going to put forth, and it's likely that it won't, they are not able to bring this back up for consideration for 10 years.
Jeez.
Yeah. I didn't realize that until I looked more into it.
Goodness.
I had no idea that if this doesn't happen, it'll be 10 years before they can go against it, you know. Yeah, it's the CMA, the UK's Competition and Markets Authority. So, yeah. The EU ultimately dismissed its early concerns around the deal's potential to harm rival console makers and game subscription services. Ultimately, the EU decided Microsoft was unlikely to pull games like Call of Duty from rival consoles as it would see its profits suffer as a result. Indeed, the EU said that even if Microsoft did pull Call of Duty from PlayStation, Sony would still be able to remain competitive. PlayStation would simply leverage its size, extensive game catalog, and market position to fend off any attempt to weaken its competitive position.
Like I said, make something better.
On cloud streaming, which is what the CMA blocked it for, the EU found the deal was unlikely to change much as the market is still very limited today. Indeed, the EU said it believes the deal could actually promote the growth of the cloud streaming. The UK CMA has disagreed with the EU's decision and, in a rebuttal to the news, said it risked letting Microsoft rule the cloud gaming market for the next decade. The CMA went on to like do a bunch of tweets about why they don't agree with the EU doing that. And then Activision responded to it and that sort of thing. Despite its success in Europe, Microsoft now finds itself facing a tough challenge to get its deal approved in the UK. Straightforward appeal cases typically take up to 9 months to complete and then are simply passed back to the UK's regulator to decide upon once more. Microsoft will need to argue it was treated unfairly or that the CMA's process was flawed in order to succeed. Failure in Europe would have dealt a successive heavy blow to Microsoft's hopes of owning Activision Blizzard. Next up, it'll be the FTC's legal action, which is coming up this summer. That is a good question that Thar66 says, is that if everyone approves except the CMA, does that mean it won't happen? I would love, let's see, does the CMA block? Can the CMA block that? It's final decision. CMA finally opted to block the deal on the basis of those concerns. Microsoft tried to address concerns by offering a commitment to license Activision games. Lethal Migrant says, when did the CMA become a paid wing of Sony? Yeah, I know. Everybody looks at that decision from the CMA and like, what are you talking about? This is...
What did I say last time? I said, check their wallets.
Right, exactly. What have they been getting... Okay, let's see. Microsoft is expected to continue Activision acquisition drive despite the block. Yeah. I'm looking over this to see.
So exactly how much pull does the CMA have, right?
Let's see. Microsoft and Activision Blizzard will exercise their right to appeal the CMA's decision, which many industry analysts noting that the competition for the of the sale is far from dead. In the aftermath of the CMA findings, Microsoft awaits the decision from Europe's own regulators due in late May, which is what we got. They approved. And then will spend the summer tackling a lawsuit filed by the FTC on its own soil. Again, should this lawsuit not fall in Microsoft's favor, then the company can appeal the result. The ongoing story has gone from straight business speak to frequent, open, ugly remarks, and it's certainly not hyperbolic to call the whole situation bitter or vindictive on multiple players' parts. Yeah, but that doesn't... Let's see. Okay, there they vote in favor. The EU Commission notes... took to Twitter to further discuss the concessions. The European Commission, the same concerns are the same ones we saw the UK competition market. The CMA vote to block the acquisition despite the publisher is expected to appeal the decision this summer. The UK is one of the few territories to vote no on the purchase, with Japan, Brazil, South America, Saudi Arabia, and now Europe all on board. They still have to face the lawsuit from the FTC, which will most definitely be its biggest hurdle to surmount before the sale can complete. So it looks like they can go ahead with it, but there will be issues with the CMA, or there'll be issues with it in the UK. And I don't know exactly how that's going to play out, wherein we own Activision Blizzard, but we can't sell or publish under the Microsoft name in the UK or something? I'm not sure. Hmm. Yeah, I don't exactly know Thar 66. But it sounds like it'll only be in the UK that they'll have issue, which is why they'll appeal it. And then if they don't win the appeal, they have to wait 10 years before they can bring it back up to the CMA again. I don't think this stops them from making the purchase. Mm-hmm. It just means that the purchase won't be recognized in the UK, I guess, which seems odd.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily know that everybody has to be on board in order for this to work. And given the fact that everybody except that one thing has, you know, the CMA, the UK has put into it, those other countries we mentioned.
Yeah, it feels like
feels
like a hung jury. Only that one juror is keeping everybody from being unanimous.
It still feels like they were paid by Sony.
Yeah.
They had outside influence is what it feels like.
Yeah, hung juries are like that too.
I know, yeah.
So, yeah.
That's kinda like what it feels like. So what else do we get? We got the first trailer for Five Nights at Freddy's.
Mm-hmm.
That's gonna be out in October. And
I hear that Scott Cawthon like looked at multiple scripts for a movie based on his franchise.
I understand, he was the one that kept it. That was the holdup.
Yeah, it was like what I was saying was that he had multiple scripts and they were just weren't to his liking. So yeah. I said nope, and then I guess this one worked.
Yeah, that's my thinking as well. That he was, from what I said, he was the holdup. But yeah, but he's on board. Well, he's been on board now. They got the thing filmed, and it's due out in October. It'll be in theaters and streaming on Peacock. So,
okay. If
you've got a subscription to Peacock, you might be able to watch it. I don't exactly know how it'll work at that time. Will it be like an extra payment to watch it, or will it? I don't know. Who knows?
As long as you don't do the $30 to watch Mulan.
Right.
Disney Plus
deal. Yeah. Yeah. What else? Oh, Mortal Kombat 1.
Mm-hmm. Weird naming.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
But apparently it has to do with something in the storyline from Mortal Kombat, whatever,
Mortal Kombat 12, 11?
11?
Yeah, the way 11 finished, you can see why everything's going back, but, well, not going back.
I never knew that Mortal Kombat crutched so heavily to story. To where it's like, hey, this is the way that one ended, so we got to continue. I never knew that
fighting games generally are not known for story, really. They just it's just some little aspect that they don't really care about.
Yeah, they're not known from one leading into another, with the exception of, I know they've thrown teases and stuff. Where it's like, oh, there's a character that we don't know anything about, but probably will show up in the third or fourth or whatever iteration it might be. But never in a sense of this one ending for this one character is the one we're going with to set up our next game.
Yeah,
so much so that we're doing a complete, I don't even want to call it a reboot, I guess, but we're going from 11 to 1.
It's a reset of the story.
A reset, yeah.
It's a reset of the story. Like I said, I was saying earlier, like the only one that I could think of where the story was enough, story of fighting game was enough to pull you in, was still Eternal Champions.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a long time ago on the Sega Genesis years ago. But in this case, the way 11 ended, spoiler territory, but yeah.
But it only ended for this one character that way, or did the story? They have story modes, don't they?
Story modes in there, yeah.
I forgot.
So story mode was basically, you had two types of endings. One is where Liu Kang became the new fire god, so it took Raiden's place as protector of Earthrealm.
Mm-hmm.
Or you had the other one with the DLC where Shang Tsung took over and ruled all the realms. So they went with the Liu Kang being the new fire god and protector of Earthrealm as the story to go with.
Right, because so at the end of that, he goes back in time.
Yeah.
To train Kung Lao.
Yes, yeah, so it was a time thing, yeah. So he got all the godlike power, went back in time.
Yeah, which is where the trailer picks up.
Which is where the trailer picks up,
yeah. Exactly. I forgot that they included story. See, I didn't, when I can remember playing Mortal Kombat 1 and 2, and those were just like, here you go. If you got a friend, play. If not, just pick a character and play against the PC.
Mm-hmm.
There was no story mode involved.
Yeah.
And now
just
forget.
Just the story of the characters.
Yeah. Because I remember playing, one of the DC versions. Probably DC versus Mortal Kombat.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, I know. Well, it was the first time. And so.
My God. The worst imitation of the hurricane kick I've ever seen in a fighting game.
But that had a story mode, didn't it? Because you had to play all the different.
It's something like it, but yeah.
And I did the same thing with Injustice. I played the story mode of those. I really only stuck with the comic book stuff. Surprise. But I forgot they had story modes, which means it wasn't. They weren't drawing specifically from one character. It's here's the way the story goes. Mm-hmm. Forgot all about that, huh? So yeah, it makes a whole lot more sense now.
Yeah. Did you see the trailer to it?
I did, yeah.
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 How those fatalities look to you?
I'm bloody. The one with the eye gouge.
The forceful removal of the eyeballs from a young lady's socket.
Yeah, that man.
Yeah.
Yep. There was a lot of squishy.
Yeah,
going on.
There's a lot of bad things going on. So it's at the level of fatalities we're going to see, and that was just from one character. Yeah. So how bad is everyone else's going to be?
And apparently, Amazon Italy had a leak of some of the characters in the first DLC that we're going to get. Mortal Kombat 1 final official after several weeks of teases. It will be a reboot of sorts. At the time of the announcement, Warner Brothers confirmed that the Combat Pack would include the Mortal Kombat 1's premium and collector's editions, but neglected to tell prospective purchasers what additional characters they get in return for their money. Amazon Italy has now inadvertently come to the rescue, though, leaking the Combat Pack's contents in a product listing. According to Amazon, Quan Chi,
yeah.
Omni-Man?
Never heard of that one.
Ermac.
Red Ninja.
Takeda. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That from a previous Mortal Kombat game?
From previous Mortal Kombat, yeah.
Yeah. Who the hell is Omni-Man? I gotta look that up. Omni-Man. Oh, okay. That's from... That is from... What is the name of the show? Invincible. That was on Amazon Prime. It's an animated thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's from a comic book.
Wait, J.K. Simmons' character?
Yep. That guy.
Okay.
Yeah. Omni-Man and Peacemaker. John Cena's character.
Okay.
From D.C.
Okay, we got celebrity. Guest appearances.
Because the other one's Homelander from The Boys, mm-hmm. which is also on... See, this is why Amazon is getting this. They've got... the Invincible product is an Amazon property as far as the animation rights.
Mm-hmm.
And Homelander, The Boys, is also an Amazon property as well.
Right.
So he's got some deal going on with Amazon there.
Mm-hmm.
Peacemaker's just Warner Brothers. So they could easily do that. But yeah.
Okay.
I look forward to seeing all of those. Hopefully Peacemaker has some sort of move that involves Eagly. His pet eagle.
So, yeah, put him in his fatality.
Probably.
His fatality or his win pose.
Additionally, Amazon says that Johnny Cage, Tremor, Chameleon?
Yeah.
Movado?
Movado's back? Okay.
And Farrah will feature...
F-E-R-R-A,
that's all it says.
Okay, no, because based on the story from what I got last time, Ferator was the some sort of an alien race it's like a symbiotic partnership. It was called Ferator. Tor was the big beast, the big hulking beast, and Farrah was the one riding its back. But according to the ending that I remember, eventually the beast dies and the rider evolves into the beast and needs another rider. That's why the name Ferator. So it's a cycle like that. So if it's just Farrah by itself.
Just as Farrah. And it says they will feature as cameo characters with a K. Cameo.
Cameo. Okay. Assist characters, I guess.
I suppose.
Okay. If it was Farrah it was about to be interesting. If Farrah was just by herself, then has she evolved into a beast or is she still the rider?
Yeah.
Rider size.
I don't know.
Who knows?
Mortal Kombat 1 will be available beginning September the 19th. And it comes in a bunch of different flavors.
Yep.
With how you would like it.
Regular, legendary, collectors.
What do we have here? Mortal Kombat 1 Standard Edition, $70.
Yeah.
You get it. Mortal Kombat 1, yeah, Premium Edition is $110.
Mm-hmm.
Gives you everything included with the standard edition, but you also get a bundle of 1,250 dragon crystals, the in-game currency.
In-game currency, yeah.
In addition to the combat pack, which includes all those other things we just talked about.
Season pass, basically.
Yeah, it'll get you early access to the new playable characters with 5 new cameo characters to be made available post-launch.
Mm-hmm.
Also, you'll be able to start playing 5 days before release when you do that pre-order.
Mm-hmm.
That is the premium edition. Then they have the collector's edition with a K for $250. That is exclusively for the consoles, the Xbox and the PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
It includes all the bonuses from the premium, including early access, combat pack. You also get some additional loot in the form of a Liu Kang sculpture that's 16 and a half inches tall, and an exclusive Liu Kang character skin, 3 exclusive art prints, a steelbook case. It's not a steelbook case. I looked at it. It is not steelbook.
As in the material or?
As in the brand. Steelbook is a brand. It
okay.
is a...
Okay, then it must be what I'm saying. It's just an aluminum case. I didn't know it was a brand.
It is a metal case. Here's the way you can tell. Steelbook case does not have hinges. So if you ever get something that you think is a steelbook case, because these also are metal and everything else.
Right.
But you'll see, and I've got one, an old Wizard of Oz metal case that has hinges on the back. Steelbooks has no hinges. It's all one piece. Whereas the metal case, and I think I've got two or three films that had a metal case thing. Now, the picture that I looked at, it was a lot bigger than what this one is on this website that I'm looking at here. Yep. And maybe I need to look at it again to see. But I swear I saw hinges, which made it not steelbook. I know I'm dorky as all hell for saying, well, it's not a true steelbook. You know, it's got hinges.
Well, look, it's new to me. I thought steelbook was just a metal case for movies.
And I
but
wouldn't.
No, that's an actual brand. I
wouldn't
know that.
Fault you for that at all. But yeah, because I was duped as well at some point. Anyway, I'd have to look at it again. High res. If you find a real good high res image of that thing, put it in the chat room. I want to open it up and look, see if I'm right.
Oh,
what?
That thing with the rectangular bar on the back. Yeah.
That thing with the rectangular.
I'm looking up authentic steelbook design, and I'm looking at the Dead Space one.
Does it have hinges?
No, it's got this big rectangular title bar on the back.
Yeah.
It's like a shut shell.
Yeah.
It's all together. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no hinges on this thing. So yeah.
Okay. I don't know how I can.
Yeah, it's like the one I got. I remember buying steelbooks of the Blues Brothers and Scarface, and that's how it looks.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. You probably got a steelbook.
The other
way to tell is when you open it up, you'll see the brand name on the bottom of the case as steelbook. It is their logo and everything else. It's etched on the plastic that lays on the inside of the steelbook case.
Okay.
And it'll say that. Anything else will not say that, obviously. And again, hinges. So
I find it funny here. They got the Jean-Claude Van Damme skin for Johnny Cage.
For Johnny Cage, yeah.
Because that's who...
It's who it's based on.
That's who he's based on.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, yeah. Why not?
We're going to take a break here. When we come back, I don't know, more game news. This is music from a game called Songs of Conquest. It is the main song of the conquest, I suppose. We'll be back with more of In-Game Chat right after this. Welcome back to In-Game Chat, where it is raining out there right now. Just in the middle of the break, it was fine, but now I see so much water coming down off the building and outside and everything else. So.
Hey, you know why it's raining this hard, right?
Because
my umbrella's in the car.
Oh, right, yeah. and you parked, you always park on the other side of the lot.
Yeah.
Never close to the door. Always the other side of the lot.
No, because you got radio vehicles coming in left and right, so I don't know when someone's going to come up here with that. So I'm going to want to stay out the way.
Yeah. But yeah. Well, when I park here during the week, I always park way away. Because I don't want anybody parking next to me. But.
Oh, no. Hey, look, it's just water.
I know. And with the way it's been during the entire show, likely it could be, it could let up by the time we get done here in the next 15 minutes.
Or stop completely.
Or stop, yeah. Exactly. So. Anyway. Yeah, welcome back to the show. I mentioned that I'd seen the Mario movie. Me and Wendy watched it last night, and if I were to review it like an actual serious movie, I would say that it's okay. But if I'm going to review it for what it is, which is a video game movie, I really liked it. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. It was just... And honestly, I will tell you that it was mostly the music that did it for me.
Okay.
Hearing the music cues, the different cues of the game inside of the movie done by an orchestra and everything else, or remixed, rearranged, however they did it, it was just great at picking up and recognize it, just these little things that would just, hit that thread in your brain.
Yeah.
That takes you back to whatever, or that makes you, and it was just really, really cool to see that on the screen. It really just was to see it. And some of the jokes didn't land, and that's fine, or probably did with kids who went to see this. But for me, seeing that come to life probably in more the way it should have than it did way back in the 90s when they tried to do it live action. This was the way to go. It was always the way to go. I have no problem, by the way, with any of the voices. It was fine. Didn't bother me at all. With the voice work and everything else, the music was great. Visually, it was amazing looking. Very colorful. Very vibrant. Loved every bit of it. I was a little giddy watching it, oh man, been playing you first, one of the first games I ever played in life, saving up for Nintendo. Well, I didn't actually, I think I saved up for half. I think it was one of those things where it's like, we'll do the other half if you do this half, cut lawns and everything else and get a, look at that rain let up. You want to go out and get your umbrella?
No,
but yeah, it was. I really enjoyed it. I think you will too. Really, don't put any expectations of getting something that.
I'll try to boost it to be an Oscar.
Yeah, just understand it's a kids' movie based on a video game, and it's fantastic. Mm-hmm. That regard, in that light, it is great. Mm-hmm. What else? Yeah, hopefully they'll just continue to do this with that. And hopefully they'll do, they probably could do other titles as well. Sonic did very well as a live action and computer generated thing, but
yeah.
Sonic did very well, both movies, but in that regard.
The thing about Sonic was the fact that they actually listened
right
to the people who had issues with their first run through. And their first run through was bad, horrible. And, they took the loss and said, "We hear you, and we're going to do redo the thing and get it right. Do the series right."
And I swear I saw something like that trying to get that was referencing the Sonic fix, but was trying to do it for Five Nights at Freddy's.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't now. I am not into that. Sorry, I just dropped a bunch of pennies.
Okay,
I'm not into that universe enough to know why.
I think the last time I heard was someone was a little leery of their eyes, the red flashing eyes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that was part of Five Nights at Freddy's three or four, because those were the nightmare animatronics. But in the first Five Nights at Freddy's, no flashing eyes. It was just the animatronic plastic eyes that were in there, which made them more more creepy. You didn't need the flashing eyes type aspect in there. That was something I was hearing from the initial comments about the trailer. I mean, why are their eyes flashing? This wasn't like that in the original game. And truth be told, yeah, you didn't need flashing eyes. I mean, the fact that you have those showbiz pieces of like animatronics walking around of their own volition is creepy enough as is. You really don't need anything else after that. So that was something they were looking at.
Okay. Really. I was curious as to what that might be in reference to, because I didn't know the universe enough to know, or that particular universe enough to know of, that sounds like, a, you know, I don't know. I think it's enough that it just got made. And yeah. And it seems to be quite faithful to it that I could see
I would imagine so. If Scott Cawthon had multiple scripts come through and he's like, no, that doesn't fit, and he found one that
because the entire game can't take place inside the security room, right? The first game,
your perspective is from the security room.
You have
to look at where all the animatronics are at.
Yeah, and the a movie can't. Well, I say that, but there's been plenty of movies that have taken place in one single location before.
I'm trying to think. Security Breach. I'm thinking Security Breach is the only one where you don't have a set location. You're walking all around the complex.
Oh, okay.
In Security Breach, but the Five Nights at Freddy's 1, 2.
Probably everyone that
all of them were
Cawthon worked on.
You were at a stationary point.
Yeah,
you just had to keep your eyes open and aware of everything that was going on.
Keep your head on a swivel.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's go to the phones. Hi, you're on in-game chat. Who's this?
It's Chris.
Hey, man, I saw you in the chat room right when we went to break, and you left.
A storm front was coming through, and I came out to the my old truck from that we got from my grandparents. But what I'm basically driving until I find another vehicle, and I was messing around and.
Sounds pretty
good.
Doing
things in it. Well, if it's sounding good right now, Lord have mercy. Anyway, I've been playing Sukuna of Rise and Ruin. I got a physical copy from the local game store in Prattville not too long ago. So,
okay.
I've been playing that for the meantime until Diablo.
Ah, yes, Diablo. Which I don't think I have something about Diablo in my news. No, I didn't, but I did have news about Overwatch 2 that I meant to get from. It's just being on the same, you know, being on the Blizzard train there. But I'll get to, if I got some time later, I'll get to that. What else? Anything else you've been playing?
Well, I did get Zelda. Eventually, I might get into playing it sometime, you know, and other times when I'm not playing the other game down the road, since I'll probably get hooked on it. But have you seen some of the different creations that people have been making that you really can't discuss too much?
Yeah, no, I've seen a ton of different ones that they have been making, mostly things that spit fire from the lower part of your body.
Okay.
Whether it be the front end or the back end, it's been fire from somewhere. So, yeah, I've seen those. You just can't. If it's the internet and it's a game, there's that whole, I think it's called the TTP factor. giving players the ability to create anything that they want, how much time does it take them to create that? That's the formula.
5 seconds.
Yeah, and it takes no time at all.
This was the description of it alone. I was thinking back to Soul Calibur. Soul Calibur lets you apply shapes. Just a little thing, shapes. And you had a big variety of things you could use. Well, it took all of five seconds for someone to say, if I put this shape and this shape and this shape together in this location and shorten this and swell this, when hey, this looks like a censored.
And I would love to say like, oh man, gamer's gonna gamer, you know, that sort of thing. Nah, it applies to anything. Anything. You know what happens when it snows outside? Somebody goes and draws one of those with their feet. Exactly. It doesn't matter if it's a game. It just matters, can you do it? Somebody's got dust on their car. Guess what you're going to draw on it?
Wash Me is not their first choice, folks.
It's not. So, I mean, you can say, oh, gamer's so immature. Nah, man, it's everybody.
Mm-hmm. And the truth be told, if I realized I could have done that, I would probably just do it just for the shits and giggles. Just why not? If I can do it, just to have fun, just to mess around. And people will do that no matter what type of thing that there it is. If they can have fun messing around like that, they'll do it.
I don't know if you just let slip, but I hit the button anyway. Because oh, okay. I'm not. I thought you said it, but I said.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If I let slip, go right ahead. I feel bad.
Yeah. Look, so anyway,
before that, look, you remember Play-Doh?
Right.
And yeah. Before Play-Doh.
Anybody if you give anybody the creativity to do like they're doing in Zelda, they'll do it.
It's just going to happen. Yeah. It's just going to happen. Mm-hmm. So. Anyway, Chris, we're close to the top here, but thank you for calling back. I'm sorry I didn't get to you on Discord, but thanks for calling back.
Okay. Thunderstorm still came through the area, and I decided to do something else in the meantime. You were right at break, and I figured I'd call you back or try to get back in later and deal with it later once, you know, I've been messing around inside the truck and making everything fit like a glove the way I like.
Well, appreciate you calling us back and hanging on there. Thank you so much, and have a good one. We'll talk to you in 2 weeks, okay?
All right, y'all have a good one. See ya.
Take care. Yeah, we've only got a few more minutes left. Blizzard. Mm-hmm. So, Overwatch 2, they're apparently getting rid of the PvE side of Overwatch 2. When Overwatch 2 was announced in 2019, Blizzard's promotion was a new campaign mode and a co-op hero missions designed to be replayable. Then it got delayed several times. Blizzard stopped talking about the PvE mode and eventually decided to only release Overwatch 2's new PvP stuff and worry about PvE later. Later has finally come, and it's bad news. Blizzard announced in a mid-season live stream that they originally planned hero missions that feature co-op, long-term progression, and talent trees have completely been canceled. Progress on the PvE experience hasn't made the progress that we would hope, said the executive producer. They came down to a difficult choice, they said. Keep working on the PvE mode, whose development had no end in sight, or scale it down and do nothing. With everything we've learned about what it takes to operate this game at the level you deserve, it's clear that we can't deliver on the original vision for PvE that was shown in 2019. What this means is we won't be delivering that dedicated hero mode with talent trees, that long-term power progression. Those things just aren't in our plans anymore. Mm. Now all those are apparently gone. What Blizzard plans to release instead are standalone story missions that feature cinematics and will push the narrative arc of Overwatch forward for the first time since the original game's release. Blizzard said that story missions will be co-op, but it sounds like they aren't designed to be replayable like the initially planned hero missions. So, I have no idea who's into Overwatch. I am not. So I don't know if that's a thing or not. But it made a lot of news that they were scrapping that.
Yeah.
I don't know who was waiting on it, but yeah.
And Overwatch sounds like a game that's most folks only play it for the PvP aspect, not for PvE. I guess it's like it's like Call of Duty. Most folks aren't playing Call of Duty for the story mode. They're playing it for the PvP aspect. Mm-hmm. So I think we got to a point where it's like, why even bother putting your efforts into a story mode?
Yeah.
Just keep it PvP and be done with it. I guess the same applies here. I don't know.
I honestly thought Overwatch was a PvP mode, you know, with the exception of maybe playing against bots, but not that there was a story.
Yeah.
I didn't know that there was some sort of overarching story or whatever that may be.
Well, the characters themselves, to me, are the story. So you just see what they were all about. But the world itself, I'm not familiar with the story of the world.
Yeah.
Just some of the characters from picking up bits and pieces here and there.
Yeah, not really into that. Take-Two has said that Grand Theft Auto 6 could be out as early as next year. There's rumor of that. Hmm. And look, with the way they do these things, that's awfully possible. They have never... We may get something this year that teases for next year, maybe, but I don't know about Take Two, but I know Rockstar is not big on. In other words, they don't get it out there as far as the advertisement or the trailer or the teaser until they know that they're at the point.
Yeah.
That they can hit whatever date they say, or they can hit whatever they do. They already know what date they're going to release that game. They probably already have a window of a date.
Yeah.
So, trailer releases and it'll say fall of whatever.
Yeah.
Then the next one we get would be this date. You know, we get that, but they don't do a lot of pre-hype on those. You know.
So publisher meddling.
Right, they really don't. They never have been, as far as I can remember. Red Dead, Red Dead 2, Grand Theft Auto 5, Grand Theft Auto 4. If I remember right, Grand Theft Auto 4 was announced at an E3 when old boy lifted up and said, "Hey, look at here's my tattoo, and it's coming to our Xbox systems." You know, or it may have already been released at that time. It was exclusive to PlayStation, but then broke away and was able to get released to the Xbox. That might have been that particular moment. But from what I remember, they don't do a lot of that.
Yeah.
They don't do a lot of early release info. Like, here's a trailer for a game that's coming out in 2 or 3 years. They don't pull a Rocksteady.
Look, the only thing anyone's concerned about with Grand Theft Auto 6 is we saw what happened with Saints Row.
Oh,
when you deal with that. And if you don't have the same level of bite and satire that all your other Grand Theft Autos had, you're in for a world of hurt.
Yeah, I don't think it'll be like that for them.
I would hope not, because it's going to be evident real quick. And when it is, you know, stuff leaks, and people see it for what it is, or they see if they get a hint of the direction you're going with this title. Yeah. Your numbers will show, and it won't be pretty.
All right, folks, we got to go. We got to wrap it up. That is going to do it for us. Don't forget to subscribe to us on YouTube, and we're on iTunes. I think we're on a lot of places where you can get podcasts and things like that. Discord, Steam Group, all those things. Join us. Remember, we're gone next week. We'll be back June, what did I say, June 3rd, I think, is when we're coming back.
I think so, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, there's a Sony PlayStation thing coming up this week, and we'll talk about that in 2 weeks. Anyway. Music from Moonscars. Zoran is the name of this track. We'll see you in 2 weeks, everybody. Thanks for joining us.